Your fever is high and the pressure to log in at work is too. But when you finally decide to take care of you, there's Instacart. Just because that one perfect coworker of yours is attending all meetings, camera on while she's sneezing, coughing and aching, doesn't mean you have to do the same. Take it from us. Trying to stay on top of things will only get you further behind. Instead, get everything from tissues and teas to cough suppressants and comforting soups delivered through Instacart in as fast as 30 minutes. If anyone needs anything, they can just redirect their questions to that one perfect coworker of yours.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing. One retired cop returns.
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort, coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
All righty, hour number three of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Just to bring more information to you, the Kansas City Police Department has some more facts about what has transpired today at the Chiefs Championship Parade, where there were two shooters. Two people have been arrested. We don't know what was the cause of the shooting. One confirmed death, which is absolutely terrible to hear. And I did see an earlier report that multiple children are currently being treated at Children's Mercy Hospital. Kansas City Police Department has provided an update. The Chief Stacey Graves says that the number of injured people is up to 10 to 15 with one confirmed death. So that is now five more injured people. We were told earlier it was 10. Now it's anywhere from 10 to 15 with, unfortunately, one confirmed death. I've also seen, to try to, you know, I don't want to say spin this into a positive, because that's not the right choice of words, but to highlight some good that could happen in what is just a terrible, and I mean a terrible situation, is that there were many Chiefs players and even head coach Andy Reid that were calming children that were obviously startled and frightened at when this whole situation did unfold. Police have arrested two people that were associated with this, and there was an overhead shot where a man who was a brave Chiefs fan tackled the shooter, and then you saw another person jump on and right around. It's because it's such a moment of panic and chaos. Obviously, you hear these gunshots, and a lot of it was captured on TV where there was anchors talking, right, about what was going on during the parade, doing the parade coverage. And then it's, you hear the gunshots. And at first, like, because unfortunately, you know, where I went to college in North Philadelphia, like, it's one of the second or third most, at the time, deadliest campuses in the country. And I have heard gunshots before. And sometimes when you're like at a party or you're at like a joyous occasion and you hear gunshots, you're like, oh, wow, that's like some really loud music. That's what you think sometimes, because naturally you're not thinking that gunshots are going to go off. And then when you realize that gunshots are going off, it's extremely scary. And unless you could see where they're coming from, and in a lot of cases, I wasn't able to, you're just running and you're hoping that you ran in the direction where you think it was the farthest thing away from where you believed the gunshots were coming. So with how big this parade route was and how many people were there, it is just crazy that you have, allegedly, and all this is happening in the moment. So I'm just going off what I'm seeing. And when there's more facts that come out, we'll go to those facts. But when you see this one man tackle who is believed to be the shooter or one of the shooters, and Samter even brought this up, how many people are there where it doesn't even look like anything was going on and you know something was going on? It's crazy because it's like you're running, but where are you running to? And when you see someone getting tackled, it just creates, and obviously it was a great act that occurred, but then more people start running because they don't know what was going on. But man, you want to talk about a hero and the guts that this person displayed. I don't know who the person is. I wish we knew their name, that was able to tackle one of the shooters. I can't say enough kind words about him. Because who knows? And once again, I don't know what the cause was of this. I don't know if it was intentional. I don't know if it's between two people and then innocent people just caught stray bullets, things like that. I don't know if this was planned out to do this at the parade. I don't know that information. I'm not going to pretend to know that information. But to see how one person just in the moment, based off instincts, just did the right thing. I know that we highlight, obviously, a lot of bad, heinous acts that occur. And that's the story. But I hope that there's also a space where we highlight, in a moment of tragedy, in a moment of something being terrible, this hero that prevented this situation from escalating even further. So what a video that is. I've retweeted on my Twitter page, at Zach Gelb, and there's not much more that I could say. I know we've been talking about this since it started to break, a little bit about 30 minutes into the show, and it's just wild. Really is crazy, where you see the moments from the parade, and there was so much content that was like funny and positive and celebrating the Chiefs, and it just changes instantly. Instantly into what was just ended up being a scary and terrible day. And once again, sometimes in our society, police get talked about the wrong way. You know, there are some bad cops. There are also more good cops than bad cops. And to see the way that the Kansas City Police Department responded to this today, once again, that's something as well where you got to remember, just as easy as it is for people to criticize the police, and there are definitely moments where the police deserve to be criticized, we also shouldn't forget the days where police are risking their lives to protect us and to make us safe and to help us. And I just think that's also important to say. Okay. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I do want to talk about some other things that we were scheduled to talk about today. So we talk about when the Super Bowl happens, it kind of overtakes the rest of the sports world. You had the other day, the Warriors going up against the Phoenix Suns. And if you go back to when Draymond Green was suspended, there were two instances. That one was the fight with Rudy Gobert when he put him in a chokehold. The other was the incident with Yusuf Nurkic, which that caused what was the indefinite suspension. And then Draymond Green attended counseling, and now he's back with the Golden State Warriors. I remember at that time that I said, I don't think it should be an indefinite suspension, because then I think Draymond's going to do things, maybe not to trick the league, but make the league think that he's actually changed. And I don't think anything is really going to change Draymond Green. This is who Draymond is. This is the role Draymond plays. And Draymond takes it way too far. But whenever something happens with Draymond, even if he appears to say that he's taking responsibility for his actions, there's always like a yeah, but. So now Draymond is back, and I said they should have just gave him a number and then see if anything changes, because I do believe a lot of this stuff was a bunch of bull junk when it was indefinite. And you have this matchup the other night where the Warriors prevail up against the Suns, and Draymond makes a nice defensive play at the end of the game with Kevin Durant. And this was Yusuf Nurkic after the game on Draymond again causing issues. Listen up.
I mean, it's sad. He didn't learn anything, man. It's just a matter of time. You're going to match somebody else again. So take everything back what I said. You don't deserve a chance. So that's it for me.
And this is then Draymond on the Draymond Green Show on The Volume. He called out Nurkic again.
Following that game, the little guy goes in the media And the little guy goes to the media and he says, I take my words back. He doesn't deserve another chance. It's only a matter of time before he hits someone else. And quite frankly, I would love to know, why is it only a matter of time before I hit someone else? Because I've destroyed him? Because what in that game that happened with me would make you say something like that other than getting embarrassed because you're just not good enough?
So here's the problem. Whether Nurkic was in the right or wrong for what he said after the game, Draymond calling him the little guy, and now Draymond trying to play the role of the victim here, and I even said this at the time when this incident occurred, like when people are saying Draymond needs help and Draymond needs therapy, like I don't even know if I necessarily agreed with that into the level that some other people said that. Draymond Green plays this role and he takes it too far. And is there an anger issue with Draymond Green? Well, when you see him put someone in a chokehold and then you see him punch someone, yeah, I think it's fair to infer or assume that there's an anger issue. But I don't want to equate this to necessarily the way that it was sometimes talked about of it being like a mental health issue, because then I think that's not right to people that go through mental health issues to just speculate on the matter. But that's what sometimes we have to do. We have to speculate. But if Draymond really learned anything from the suspension, and if he really did change, he wouldn't let this affect him and then fight back with it. And that's the thing. And when Draymond says, well, why will there be another issue? Well, Draymond, how many issues have you started in your career? It'd be one thing. Like, let's say Stu. Stu's a good dude. Stu's a nice person. I don't think Stu is an angry individual, unless there's a side of Stu that I don't know. And let's just say Stu had a moment one day at work where he lost it. And I don't know, he threw a cup of coffee or something like that. Let's just say, oh, I see why Stu's laughing. That was not intentional to the day that I was working here and someone that I worked with threw a cup of coffee against the wall because he was annoyed about something during Ion football. That genuinely, that was not an intentional moment. But once Stu laughed, it kind of set off like the aha in my brain, and the light bulb went off, where I'm like, uh-oh, maybe that wasn't the right choice of words. So let's say Stu just one day got annoyed, and he just threw a stapler, like across the room. Is that a fair analogy? Fine. That's all he used. Forget about the cup of coffee, all right? So let's just say Stu got annoyed with something one day. He was having a bad day. He threw a stapler, and that was that. Like, it didn't hurt anyone. It didn't injure anyone. He just threw it against the wall. I think most people would say, Stu, you shouldn't have done that. Stu, you have to control your anger, but we're going to let it go, and you get a slap on the wrist, there won't be any punitive action. Because Stu has the reputation of being a really good dude and a really nice guy, and that's out of character. But when you have the reputation that Draymond has, where he's constantly kicking people in their private parts, he's putting people in chokeholds, he's punching people, he has taken the role of being a villain, someone that gets under your skin. You would love him if he's on your team. You would hate him if you had to go up against him. Like, he's taken that role and he's put it on steroids. So when you keep on having that reputation, yes, sometimes when you do something you think is minor and innocuous, it turns into a bigger deal. But that's on you ultimately. Because ultimately, you created the reputation about yourself. And that's my problem with Draymond here. Whether Nurkic was in the right or the wrong for this scenario, it doesn't matter. You know, or you should know, that you're not going to win here, Draymond. And this quickly, for you to basically be making fun of and talking about someone that you were in the wrong for not that long ago, it's only a matter of time before Draymond does something stupid physically again. Here is Draymond Green on KD and Nurkic. This involves Kevin Durant as well, the Draymond Green Show on The Volume.
Questioning my character I thought was whack. But, like, guys are making a habit out of that. Him and Kevin questioned my character before, you know, as if you go question somebody's character about a basketball game, as if this not real life, as if that don't affect people's pockets. Like, I think all of it was really cowardly, if you want my honest opinion. Yeah, I did what I did. I take my stuff on the chin. We've spoke about that. But if you want to know the truth about that, I think all of it was cowardly. I think, you know, you start going to question somebody's character in front of the whole world, it's whack. So I think they all whack, both of them.
But it was fair that they were questioning your character because you provided them reasons to question your character. And guess what? Because Draymond and KD still pretend like they're friends. Clearly, that's not the case anymore. When you do something stupid and your friend is a public figure and you did something stupid to his teammate not that long ago, guess what? Your friend has to answer for it. And your friend has to be put in an awkward position because of something stupid that you did. So you don't like his response. Well, don't put him in a position to respond because you did something stupid again. And that's the thing. Draymond just doesn't get it. And Draymond will never get it. And Draymond always plays, woe is me, I was the victim. But I don't want to hear Draymond Green now pretending to be all warm and fuzzy with Kevin Durant, because we all know what happened. Draymond begged KD to join the Golden State Warriors. KD joined the Golden State Warriors. And then there was a fight where we all remember the fight on the bench because Draymond was annoyed with the drama that occurred with Kevin Durant about all the speculation and his future. And Draymond got suspended. Draymond lost, like, what did he say, like $185,000, whatever it was. I was watching the clip earlier this morning. And ever since then, they've pretended like they're still friends and all is good. But when you have something like that occur, and you could get into a fight with the friend and then make up, but when it happens on that public stage and it was so nasty, something is always going to be different. Like, you may look at your friend a different way. But now, when you go after Draymond, or you go after KD from the Draymond side of it, where KD had to respond to something that you did, and now you're calling him basically a coward? Yeah, that would be it for me. Like, Kevin Durant does a lot of petty stuff. Kevin Durant does, like, a lot of stupid stuff on social media where you wish he would just grow up, but Kevin Durant's not in the wrong here. I think Kevin Durant was coming from a good place, and this is what crappy friends do. When they think someone's trying to bring them down, they don't say, hey, this is me. I had my faults. I had my flaws. They just attack that person even more when I don't think KD was coming from a mean-spirited place. So I would not associate anymore. I would not pretend to be friendly anymore with Draymond if I was Kevin Durant. And it's like, it's one thing for him to go after Nurkic, which is stupid, but for him to go after KD, it's even dumber. It really is. So surprise, surprise. No one should be surprised. Draymond Green has clearly learned nothing. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Your fever is high and the pressure to log in at work is too. But when you finally decide to take care of you, there's Instacart. Just because that one perfect coworker of yours is attending all meetings, camera on while she's sneezing, coughing, and aching, doesn't mean you have to do the same. Take it from us. Trying to stay on top of things will only get you further behind. Instead, get everything from tissues and teas to cough suppressants and comforting soups delivered through Instacart in as fast as 30 minutes. If anyone needs anything, they can just redirect their questions to that one perfect coworker of yours.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing. One retired cop returns.
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort, coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We've been talking, obviously, about the horrible situation that has unfolded at the Chiefs Championship Parade, where there were gunshots fired. It's been reported that 10 to 15 people have been injured and, unfortunately, one death. I know sometimes people tune into this show to escape the real-world problems. I don't want to be insensitive here, obviously. We have now discussed what has happened for almost 2 hours now. There's really nothing more that I could say. So we're going to try to get back to doing a normal show. And when we get more information, we'll continue to keep you up to date. There is some good audio that I think could provide a smile to a few people from the parade and some other topics as well. So let's keep you up to date on some of the biggest stories in sports with some audio. We get to a news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All righty, let's go to Drew Tranquil. He had an awesome speech today at the Chiefs Championship Parade, this courtesy of KSHB 41.
This is way better than LA, I can tell you that much, baby. These streets are lined. There's millions of people here. It's a special moment. I'm about to take your mic from you. I mean, my goodness. Miami, got him. Buffalo, got him. In a blizzard, in a snow, Baltimore. Can't beat them, big bad Wolves. No chance. We could have them. And then the big bad 49ers. Oh, coming in. Oh, this, that, and the other, man. Big Red, T-Swift, and the boys came and took it. We took it. They didn't give us nothing. And we took it. I don't even have a voice right now. I love you guys. Hey, I love you guys. I love you guys.
My favorite part about that is he goes, Big Red, T-Swift, and the boys took it. I know the boys classifies Patrick Mahomes, but you would think just with the name of Patrick Mahomes, he'd be like, Big Red, Patrick Mahomes, T-Swift, and the boys took it. It's crazy how he just lumped all the teammates together. I think that's my favorite part of that.
I mean, at the end of the day, it sounds like a great name for a band.
Yeah.
Big Red, T-Swift, and the boys.
Young Joka going to be getting on a few tracks. Kadarius Toney.
Couldn't get on the field.
And it's just wild how awesome of a moment that is. And you hear the natural excitement from Drew and the fans in the background. And then obviously what has occurred, what we've been talking about. And Drew Tranquil has sent out a tweet. Please join me in prayer for all the victims in this heinous act. Pray that the doctors and first responders would have steady hands and that all would experience full healing. Unfortunately, one person has passed away from the shooting that did occur today at the Chiefs Championship Parade. Let's go to Travis Kelce. So Travis Kelce was feeling himself. I don't think the partying has ever stopped for Travis Kelce, but here's the problem. Travis Kelce, I think, was sober at the Super Bowl, and he was singing Viva Las Vegas. Maybe he should leave the singing to his better half. I don't know, some lady by the name of Taylor Swift. She's a pretty good singer, if I may say so myself. I'm going to see how long we could take this, but I think it's going to make some people laugh today. Here is Travis Kelce doing a little singing, intoxicated at the Chiefs parade.
I want everybody a part of this thing.
God.
If you know this song, sing along. Blamed it all on my roots. I showed up in boots and ruined the Niners affair. The last one to know. We were the last one to show. We were the last one they thought they'd see there. And I saw the surprise, that fear in their eyes. It was took that glass of champagne. Pat took that glass of champagne, I promise you. When I took and I toasted you, honey, we threw what I never. What?
Yeah, that's enough for me, dog.
Friend in low places,
wicked stuff. Hey, do we have it again? Put it back up real quickly. All right, good. They took the mic away from him. Good. Oh, my goodness gracious. So I think it's safe to say Jason Kelce does a better job than Travis Kelce at the championship parades. And I do believe that Jason Kelce was intoxicated during his championship speech. But Travis Kelce there, if you're going to sing a song, you got, and I'm not great at remembering lyrics, but if you're going to sing a song like that, you got to know the lyrics to the song. He was, I think it's safe to say he was a little bit intoxicated, all right? He was blacked out. Oh, my goodness gracious. Holy smokes.
I mean, listen, we've done a lot of speculating about the relationship of Kelce and Swifty, but I mean, if your boyfriend's out on stage
her,
in front of the...
friends are the... Her fans are the Swifties.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and Miss Swift, whatever you want to call her. The Swifty. I mean, if your boyfriend is out on stage acting a fool,
well,
drunk
as a skunk... there.
No, but I'm just saying, like, if you're watching this and you see that
you
your boyfriend
your
is a drunk skunk and he's making a fool of himself, at what point do you say, oh, maybe he's just not the guy for me? I mean,
Don't be that dude.
There's one thing about getting drunk, but, you know, hold your liquor, buddy. Hold your liquor.
He's having fun. He's got to do... It's tough when you win that many championships to make a memorable act.
Yeah, and that's even worse. This is his first one. This is his third. Act like you've been there before.
I mean,
you've had two others. You don't need to be falling over drunk. I think
getting drunk is how he enjoys it.
Yeah, but
he deserves it.
They had to hold him up.
See, here's the thing.
This reminds me of Tom Brady in Tampa.
No, Brady was more sober than that.
Tom, remember the security guards were holding Brady.
No, it wasn't the
security guard.
It wasn't the security guard. It was the third string quarterback.
Yes. Had to carry Brady. Brady's throwing trophies across boats. I mean.
Good accuracy by
Brady.
I'm
just saying.
Brady throwing the trophy was better and was more sober than whatever Travis Kelce just did.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird. Now you're making me want to defend Travis Kelce just because of your reaction to this entire thing.
Just saying. If I find out, you know, next week that Swift decided to move on, I know why.
I think that has nothing to do with this. Nothing whatsoever. By the way, Taylor Swift, that was pretty cool seeing her partying with the Chiefs. They're playing her music. She was looking great at that Super Bowl. Was looking great at the post game. And I think I said this from the start. I think this is a genuine, lovely relationship. And I hear the wedding bells being played right now. Here comes the bride. I just hope Stu gets invited to that wedding. I really do. Here is Travis and Jason Kelce on the New Heights podcast on the 49ers receiving the ball in overtime.
You win the coin toss. That's what you get. You get the opportunity to have the advantage, and they handed it right over to us. Not trying to harp on the guy, but it was a huge... Like when they said we want to receive, and the ref looked at Fred and he said, "Are you sure?"
Yeah.
You sure you want to receive? And he said, I want to receive. I want the ball.
I was texting.
I jumped out of my seat and said, hey, here we go. Let's go, boys.
Perfect.
They want to receive. We get second possession. We know exactly what they want. Defense, hold them. Just hold them to three. Just hold them to three. We're going to go down here and win this thing, baby.
Freaking crazy. Really was. I was texting Nick before that even happened, because we go over the same situation in playoff football possession.
So here's the thing. Since this is all new, I'll just ask you this question. Because a lot of people reacting to this in the moment. I reacted to the moment. I had no problem with Shanahan taking the ball first. It feels like, though, that how this is going to work moving forward is going to be whoever gets the ball first, you score a touchdown, you have a decision to make. Do you kick the extra point or you go for two? Because in the back of your mind, the other team, if they score a touchdown, they're going to go for two. Now, you go for two with being the first team, you don't get it. The other team then just has to hit an extra point. But it does feel like how this is going to work moving forward, whether I thought it was right or wrong, and I didn't have a problem with Shanahan taking the ball first, that if the first team scores a touchdown, in all likelihood, they'll probably kick the extra point. And then the other team is going to go get the ball. You have to score a touchdown, and then they're going to go for two and try to end the game right there. Because on the flip side, unless you have the 85 Bears defense, that third possession, in all likelihood, as long as you have a decent kicker, you make a few first downs, and then boom, you go kick a game-winning field goal on that third possession. Here is Jason and Travis Kelce on Travis's confrontation with Andy Reid in the first half.
People are all over this, and I mean, I get it. I can't...
You cross the line. I think we can both agree on that.
I can't get
that fired up to the point where I'm bumping coach and it's getting him off balance and stuff. When he stumbled, I was just like, oh, my head.
Let's be honest. The yelling in his face, too, is over the top. I think there's better ways to handle this retrospectively.
Yeah. I immediately wish I had took it back. Coach Reed actually came right up to me after that, and he just let him know, hey, man, I love your passion. I got cameras on me all over the place, man.
He's letting you know not to be like that.
Just fired me up even more to go out there and get a f***ing victory for him, man. Big Red, sorry if I caught you with that cheap shot, baby. But damn, I love winning with you.
You got to have your head on a swivel, because next time he gets fired up at you, he's coming hot at you. You know that.
Oh, yeah, I deserve it. If he would have cold cocked me in the face right there, I would have just ate it and just been like, yeah, let's f***ing go.
You know why I love that audio? Because it's basically Big Brother Jason telling Little Brother Travis, yeah, you were in the wrong. Just own it. You were in the wrong. And he did own it eventually in that clip. If they would have lost, that would have been maybe the number one talked about storyline from the Super Bowl. But since they've won, I think it gets forgotten about. And right, Samter asked me on Monday, you know, did you have a problem with it? And I'm like, no, I didn't have a problem with it because they ended up winning. So them winning makes this go away. But if they lost, there's no doubt about it. We may have led the show with that on Monday. Let's go to Brandon Marshall. This is on the I Am Athlete podcast. He is claiming that Taylor Swift got Kanye West ejected from Super Bowl 58. All right, let's hear this from Brandon Marshall.
Kanye West pulls up to Vegas. Kanye West buys a ticket right in front of Taylor Swift's booth. So anytime they were going to be showing Taylor Swift, Kanye's face was going to be there. He had a mask on with his logo on a mask, right? Typical Kanye. Taylor Swift gets pissed off. Sheik Boom Boom makes a call or two. Everybody's involved. He gets kicked out the stadium.
Uh-oh. This is hot.
But Kanye, this is hot tea, hot tea, hot tea, hot tea, hot tea. Okay. Got kicked out the stadium. He was trying to leverage her celebrity
because they're not going to cut to him. Mm-hmm. So he's like, I'm going to strategically position myself. So every time they cut over here to her.
So now you got to go back to the beef, you know, him cutting her off. Yeah. It's like, you know, Beyonce should have won it. And then years after, and just that whole relationship. But that's what he tried to do.
Brandon Marshall has a credibility problem. Because I don't believe a damn thing Brandon Marshall says. Remember a few years ago when he went on that fiery rant about NBA contracts not actually being guaranteed and he was just like so wrong? That's a problem. But you could survive from something like that. Now, I am biased because I love Channing Crowder. I don't like the way that he reportedly treated Channing Crowder when they were breaking up from their podcast. And for Channing not to like someone, that just tells me all I need to know about someone. But here's why this story never made any sense. You're telling me that, let's just play along with this, that Taylor Swift actually got Kanye West ejected from the Super Bowl. You're telling me with how much Kanye West talks that he wouldn't have talked about this and he wouldn't have put on a show as he was getting escorted out of the stadium and there wouldn't have been any video of Kanye getting escorted out of a stadium? Like, come on. Remember when Dave Portnoy got dragged out by the NFL at the Super Bowl? That thing was viral in a second. It was like one of the more trending topics from that Super Bowl. So let's just say Kanye got kicked out of a Super Bowl. There would have been video of it somewhere. And I did read earlier this morning that TMZ talked to someone associated with Kanye, and they were like, yeah, this story is just 100% untrue. So Brandon Marshall, once again, I don't believe anything that he says, and he has a credibility problem. Because you say these things and you have a platform, you have a big platform, and why should I believe anything you ever say when something like this happens? And I don't know who told you it, but clearly you didn't vet it. And I don't know if you're just saying things for clicks at this stage, but this did not happen. Here is Zach Johnson. This is at the Waste Management, which I was at last year when the Super Bowl was in Phoenix, and then you had the Waste Management over that weekend, and that was some zoo. I'll never forget, I was with Perloff and Sully. And we were in one of these, I think it was a DraftKings tent. And Perloff and Sully is like, something's happening with these two people. There's going to be a fight. And you saw two college kids just get into a fight. Like, you would have thought you were at like a UFC event or a college football tailgate. Not what you would think a golf event would be, but this is not your typical golf tournament. And Zach Johnson got annoyed with the fans who were rowdy at Waste Management and told them to shut up. So they told him to shut up, and I read something that the fan was heckling Zach Johnson about his captaincy in regards to the Ryder Cup. Here is Billy Horschel. He curses out a fan.
All right. Go watch the shot. next year.
Buddy, when he's open, shut the hell up, man. Guys. Trying to get a damn golf shot here.
So I'm all fine with the rowdy crowd, but when someone's trying to hit a golf ball, you do have to shut up. Like, there has to be a line somewhere. Now, I don't think you shouldn't have the waste management and have the rowdiness of that crowd. I think it is good for golf, but I understand the golfer's frustration. Here's the problem, though. Like, I know that we have a lot of uncertainty about this merger financially with LIV and the World Tour and also the PGA. Maybe we're going to get some more clarity on that soon. But with a lot of the big-name golfers now associated with LIV Golf, it's not a great look, even though Zach Johnson and Billy Horschel may be right, with them going after fans when LIV Golf is perceived to be more of a raucous, fun crowd, and the one raucous, fun crowd that they have at a golf event ends up now getting kind of told to shut up by the golfers. Like, there has to be that line, and you shouldn't be heckling a golfer while he's in his backswing, but there has to be a medium here somewhere. And clearly the golfers are getting annoyed, but the fans are going to have fun because that's what this event has turned out to be. All righty, that's a news brief. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll wrap up the show on the other side. Update time first. Here's the Ackman, Rich Ackerman.
I'm Tony, and this is the Tony Kornheiser Show. Wow, that makes it sound a bit more serious than it really is. So what exactly is the show about? It's been almost 30 years, and I still don't know. Right now, we have some of the best voices in football come on to explain to us what we need to know in the college and pro world, and we get weekly picks from a monkey. Do you really need more than that? I might just tell you about my bunker game and the latest failed entry in my quest to find the best coffee ice cream. No schmutz, please. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Chapman's hit podcast was canceled.
As you know, my old show, The Chris Chapman Confrontation, was a victim of a little thing called cancel culture.
But he's learned, he's grown, and he's ready to win back his audience.
I'm back, better than ever, with The Chris Chapman Do-Over.
Starring Ike Barinholtz.
I have a new lady co-host on the pod.
Lisa Gilroy.
My mic is on!
And Neil Casey is the professor.
Greetings, my humans.
The new hit improv comedy, The Chris Chapman Do-Over. An Odyssey and Paper Kite production. Listen on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to answer or ask the pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. And we have Jim in Los Angeles who says, Zach, what did you make about teams calling the Lakers about LeBron James right before the trade deadline? You could submit a question by tweeting at CBS Sports Radio or at Zach Gelbies and the hashtag Ask the Pros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, where your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. So I was reading that ESPN report, and it was the Warriors were calling the Lakers about LeBron, which I understand why. And then I thought the funnier part from that whole situation was the Sixers call to the Lakers, where when Rob Pelinka, and I don't know if this maybe should be the way, and maybe it was because who was calling. Like, when the Warriors call you, even though Bob Myers is no longer there, it's like, okay, this is the Golden State Warriors. They have been the team for the last several years, and maybe there's more respect. So maybe that was more of a cordial phone call. But it is funny to me when a team in another conference calls like the Sixers, where Daryl Morey is perceived to be like one of the brightest basketball minds. I think he's overrated as the sports executive. He has always annoyed me going back to when he was with the Rockets, and he practically celebrated losing by saying, oh yeah, we lost the series to the Warriors, but our record's not as bad against Golden State as everybody else that lost to the Golden State Warriors in the playoffs. At least we won a few games in each round. So that always annoyed me with Daryl Morey. But I find it funny when the Sixers called, Pelinka's response was, well, is Joel Embiid available? Which I just think is like a classic, like, shut your mouth and get off the phone kind of move by Rob Pelinka. So, Stu, let me just ask you this. I'm not surprised that the Warriors came calling. I suggested LeBron should have joined the Warriors years ago. I'm not surprised that the Sixers came calling. Heck, before LeBron picked the Lakers, I suggested that LeBron should have picked the 76ers. So I get why those teams are calling, but here's what I'll ask you, and I don't know what you would have got back from the Sixers or what you would have got back from the Golden State Warriors. I actually kind of think the Lakers should have been more open to those phone calls. And if the return is not as what you wanted, I would have been open to those phone calls because in all likelihood, LeBron is going to opt out at the end of the year, and maybe he re-signs with you. But with the way that this team is constructed, I don't think there's anything that they could do in the next year or two that's really going to change the Lakers and make LeBron a champion again in La La Land.
I would have too. I would have been open to trading him. The problem is I don't know what the return would be in the
probably
worth.
Been light.
Like if they're getting back 2 second round picks and contract fillers, which are probably bad
well,
contracts.
Let's be you probably would have got back a first round pick. I'm just going to go out on a limb. But if it's a first round pick
from
to
the Sixers, it's going
to
be one of the last picks in the draft, most likely.
Or even the Warriors, who haven't been great this year. Yeah. Like they get LeBron with Steph. What is it going to turn out to be? Like what you would have got? Like maybe the back end of Klay Thompson
probably.
To make the salaries match or something like that. So I don't fault the Lakers for saying no. But all I'll say is I wish they just – it seemed like they didn't even listen. They didn't even entertain it.
They should have entertained it. But, yeah, unless the return is so overwhelming where you're like, okay, let's do this, it's probably not worth doing.
Yeah, you're probably right on that. Now, the other part of this, too, I got to get to a totally different thing before we end. Steve Spagnuolo has now – he inked a contract extension today. Spags is now a 4-time champion as a defensive coordinator. He was the DC of the 07 Giants when they defeated, at the time, the undefeated Patriots, which made him 18-1. And then he's been the DC for the last 3 championships that the Kansas City Chiefs have won. And this is nothing against Mahomes. This is nothing against Kelsey. This is nothing against Andy Reid. Because whenever they win, regardless how they win, with what those guys have done in the annals of NFL history, they're going to be the most 3 talked about players in every Super Bowl. But this Super Bowl, to me, is really defined by the defense of Kansas City. And I know there's no coordinator in the Hall of Fame. Like, you don't make the Hall of Fame for being a coordinator. And Spags, I know that one of the guys that run the Rams said no one would have succeeded with the situation that they were in. And Spags at least brought a good culture, so take that for what it's worth. But Spags didn't succeed with the Rams as a head coach. What I will say is, though, even if he never gets another opportunity to be a head coach, he should, but I don't think he will. Where he is like 64, 65, also defensive minded. I know we've had some defensive minded guys become head coaches, but they're usually younger. Spags should be a Hall of Famer. And you could be a Hall of Famer, and you should be able to be a Hall of Famer as a coordinator. But when you have 4 championships, and your defense is great this year, and you have a defense that was a part of one of the great upsets of all time in sports, I don't see how you keep that guy out of the Hall of Fame. I hope Spags gets in the Hall of Fame one day. I doubt he will, just like I hope he gets a head coaching job once again one day, but signing a new extension, all the jobs already filled. He hasn't got a sniff of an NFL head coaching job. I asked him this after the first Super Bowl he won in Kansas City. I asked him after the second Super Bowl, and we're hoping to talk to Spags potentially later in the week or next week, and I'm sure we'll ask about him again. He wants to be head coach again. I know he wants to be head coach again, but I think he's kind of at peace knowing he's at a good situation right now where if he never becomes a head coach again, we could all look at Steve Spagnuolo and realize the impact that he's made on the game. All righty. That concludes the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Obviously, we were not expecting to talk about a shooting today at the Kansas City Chiefs Championship Parade. 10 to 15 people have been injured. ABC News was able to confirm that there was 1 death. You go from this being what was supposed to be a joyous, fun day to this just being a somber day where it leaves us asking many questions, and it's just totally a terrible day and something that you're never going to be able to wrap your head around. So to everyone that's in hospital right now, I only hope that your stay in the hospital is quick and you're able to return home in a very short amount of time and you're able to walk away with no major injuries. And obviously to the 1 family that lost a loved one today, I can't even imagine what they're going through. And we only send our condolences to that family. And we thank the first responders. We thank the police. We thank everyone that's dealing on the medical side of this and also the hero that tackled the person who we thought was the shooter. Because that is a real act of being a hero. And that is just heroism to its definition. That concludes the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Big thanks to each and every one of you. Stu, Moist Mike as well. We'll be back tomorrow on a Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Be safe. Thank you for tuning in. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
A Peanut Butter M&M's production.
In a world
where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing. One retired cop returns...
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort. Coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
It's February, meaning love is in the air and on the free Odyssey app. Whether you're in a relationship, situationship, or single and ready to mingle, the free Odyssey app has you covered this Valentine's Day with exclusive stations to set the mood. Download the free Odyssey app, search and follow 90s Crush to feel like you're in love for the first time. Heartstrings, acoustics of your fave love songs, or Pop Goes Love, the hits that make us fall in love. Consider it a love letter from Odyssey, your Valentine. Your Odyssey.